Okay, so we're starting a new series today called Hearing God, and I'm doing something that's a little unusual for me, and during this series, I'm going to be preaching from a manuscript, where I've actually written down every word that I want to say. I don't normally do it that way for me. You probably don't even notice or care about this. This is just like preacher dork stuff or whatever. Normally, I prep almost to the point of a word-for-word manuscript, and then spend a lot of time internalizing it, so that when I get up here on Sunday, I can speak more from the heart, although that's not really the right way to think about it, but just a little bit more naturally. This topic, though, is so important and sensitive, and there's so much confusion and bad thinking, and it would be so easy to step off the path and say something weird or unhelpful that I just don't trust myself to speak from the fly. So I kind of want to make sure I say exactly what I've prepared to say. So I might riff off this a little bit, but I'm going to kind of say what I've prepared to say when I was in a quiet place with my head on straight, thinking thoughtfully about the scripture and how God speaks. Okay? So let me say a little prayer and then we'll get into the message. Father, I want to pray simply that you would teach us how to hear your voice. Amen. Okay, so what if I told you guys that I heard God speak to me today? What pops into your mind? Someone said, what did he say? Good question. Then I'll decide whether or not you heard God. Good question. On occasions when I've heard someone talking like that, I tend to be pretty skeptical, I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, it comes across to me as sort of wishful thinking, like an imaginary friend kind of thing, or worse, sometimes as faking, like in the case of the sleazy televangelist, the religious authority who's trying to manipulate people by saying, God told me this or whatever. Sometimes the person sounds a little unstable, actually. Like he or she actually did hear something, but when they share what they said, which is why that was a very good question, I'm not at all 100% sure that it was God. Like I hear it and I think I'm convinced that you did hear something. It just doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't sound like what God would say, and so I'm not at all convinced that it actually was God. And all of that is made worse by personal experiences that I've had, and I'm sure that a number of you in the room have had, and some listening online have had, where somebody spoke for God, or said that they heard something from God, but it didn't sound right. It sounded more self-serving or manipulative or whatever. And so much abuse of religious authority stems from this. Hearing God sounds presumptuous. It even sounds a little dangerous. But what if not hearing God is the true danger? What if trying to live our lives on this earth without the personal guidance of the Lord is truly presumptuous? I think we've all longed to hear God at one point or another. Based on my conversations with a variety of different people as a pastor, I'd say that this is true of nearly everyone and is very likely true of some of you here today, right now. You've come here like, I need to hear something. I need guidance about a decision. I'm going through something hard and I need some kind of explanation or some help to get through. But we've all felt it at some point in our lives, and especially when life is painful, especially when there's a big decision to be made and there's no turning back, we long for a word from God. Lindsay and I have gone through some very hard times together. We have suffered, and when we've suffered, I have been desperate for a word from God. I mean, the why questions, the did I do something wrong? Am I supposed to be doing something different? What does this mean? What am I supposed to be learning? How am I going to get through this? I mean, when you go through something very hard and painful, it's very normal to want to hear from God. It's also normal to want to hear from God when you face a big life decision. And so I see this a lot in people who are on the front end of their lives. Because you have all these huge life decisions you have to make on the front end of your life. These big decisions like, do I go to college right away? Or do I, you know, quote unquote, take a year off? Do I marry her or not? Do I move to Seattle or do I stay in New York City? Which, let me just clear that one up right now. The answer from God is you should stay in New York City. So these are big decisions, and we understand how they will affect our future. I'm kidding. Not really, but kind of. Not really. Religious authority abusive right there. So. these are big decisions, and we understand that they will affect our whole lives. I mean, you look into your life, and you see this is going to affect everything about my life. These are not little things, and wouldn't it be nice to get some guidance from the Lord Wouldn't it be nice to have some help from our Heavenly Father? I also see this in people who are in the second half of their lives, who have made bad or costly decisions and come to know through experience the terrible reality that in some very real ways, there is no turning back. In some very real ways, the consequences of our decisions are irrevocable, and that we're not always very good at making our own decisions. And these people, in the second half of their life, who have learned these hard lessons, are the few people I meet in life who actually pray the Lord's Prayer with any sincerity. Father, may your will be done. Aside from God's guidance and the consequences of not hearing him, there are other considerations. Like, what if the real danger in the abuse of religious authority isn't that some people claim to hear from God, but that not enough people actually do hear from God? I don't know if you've heard about Jim Jones, but to understand this illustration, you need to know who he was. He's the guy from whom we get the phrase, they drunk the Kool-Aid, and it's actually a pretty macabre, dark phrase. Jim Jones was a cult leader who lulled hundreds of people into submission, claiming to speak for God, and he led hundreds of people into South America, fleeing from the authorities on this huge compound, and eventually, when his whole life disintegrated around them, he led them all in a mass suicide to drink poison in Kool-Aid. So that's where we get this phrase, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. It's like totally mindless, sold out faith. Could Jim Jones have led those several hundred people into South America and convinced them to poison themselves and feed it to their babies if even one of his followers actually knew how to hear from God? The dangers of people hearing from God are real, or claiming to hear from God are real, and we are right to be wary. People blame God for all kinds of nonsense. I've heard it all. People blame God for wanting to leave their wives. People blame God for wanting to gossip about other people. People blame God for wanting to split churches. People blame God for all kinds of things. We are right to be wary when someone starts claiming to have heard something from God. But is it possible that we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak? Too many people have responded that way. This is all way too dangerous and way too messy. So let's just say that God doesn't speak and we shouldn't try to listen. One of the problems with that attitude, though, and probably the chief problem, is that it just doesn't sit with the Bible. And it won't sit well within you if you read the Bible without prejudice. You'll find yourself doing some real mental gymnastics with the Bible to make it so that God doesn't speak to his followers and that his followers do not hear him. At the least, you'll have to go very much further than what the Bible actually does say. Because it is obvious to anyone who reads the Bible as a child might that hearing God is a normal part of the life, perhaps even a central part. It is clear that God has spoken in a variety of ways, some of which we'll explore in this series of messages, and that the first followers of Jesus behaved as if hearing from God was a vital part of the life with Jesus. What if, by not hearing him, we miss out on one of the greatest pleasures in life? What if, by not hearing him, by not listening, we actually disobey God? It is, in fact, part of the glory of God that he speaks. Several hundred years before Jesus walked the earth, the mysterious prophet Habakkuk had a profound conversation with God, and he recorded these words in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation, he makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up! Can it give guidance? Can the images of what God is like that we create actually guide? It's covered with gold and silver. There's no breath in it. The Lord, on the other hand, is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And then Jesus taught his followers that his followers would hear his voice. They would learn to recognize his voice. Here are some of his words recorded in John chapter 12. He said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, we're going to take a closer look at that second passage of Scripture later on in this series of messages, but for now, just suffice it to say that these and many other passages like them offer us guidance in the hearing of God's voice. Most Christian people have a sense, at least a vague sense, that this is kind of important, but many of us have been left feeling like we're on the outside looking in. It's very common for people, even people who have a lively, interactive relationship with the Lord, to feel like they seldom, if ever, hear from God. It's very, very normal. And this is partially because of the abuses that we mentioned earlier, so we've sort of pushed this out of our way of thinking about the world. It's partially because some people do hear him, but call it something else, like a coincidence, or maybe their own thoughts, and we're going to get into that, how to distinguish those things. And it's partially because of a lack of sound understanding and teaching, and as we will come to understand together, most importantly, a lack of practice in the hearing of God's voice. God does not play games with us. When he speaks, he wants us to hear him, and he does speak when it's appropriate, and when he deems it best for our own good or the good of others, to make us more like Jesus, who listened very carefully to his Father, more carefully than any man before or since. And God wants us to learn to hear from him. And so his written word is full of instruction to help us. In this series, I hope to explore some important questions, like, what are the various ways that God speaks as revealed in Scripture? What kind of posture must we take in order to hear him? How can we be sure it's him we've heard? And what does it mean, and what must we do when we cannot hear him? Now, I have two important disclaimers to make before we get into this. First disclaimer is, I am a fellow learner and not a master at this at all. So I'm going to do my best to help, but I cannot offer you the guidance of a master because I am not one. But as we go through this journey together, we will look together at the words of some genuine masters at hearing the voice of God. Masters like Brother Lawrence, who wrote in his classic work, The Practice of the Presence of God, these beautiful words. There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it. Yet I do not advise you to do it from that motive. It is not pleasure which we ought to seek in this exercise. But let us do it from a principle of love, and because God would have us. And masters like the Apostle Paul, who regularly in Scripture shares with us interactions that he has with the Holy Spirit for our own benefit, like this one recorded in 2 Corinthians 12. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, Paul writes. Now he's talking about there what he calls a thorn in his flesh in the verses leading up to this. Some problem he's having, maybe a physical malady, but some issue that he's having. And he says, 3 times I went to the Lord in prayer and said, please take this thing away from me. And I think we've all been there. And then he records for us what he heard from the Holy Spirit in response to that prayer. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, so that's the first disclaimer. I'm a fellow learner, not a master. Second disclaimer is, I owe a huge debt to Dallas Willard's excellent book called Hearing God. In addition to the title for this series of messages, I've borrowed so much that I couldn't even sort it out, even if I wanted to sort it out, from that book. Now, in addition to the Bible, I'm drawing from a lot of different sources for this series, but none so much as that particular book, and I highly recommend it to you, although I need to warn you, it's super heady. You really got to put your thinking cap on to get it, and so it's not for everybody. Part of what I hope to do in this series of messages is make the concepts from that book as accessible to you as I can. Among other things, I've taken the main idea for this teaching series from a concept in his book, which I'll share with you now. So this is the long and the short of it, the long and the short of the whole series. This is the most important thing for you to know. It's the most important thing for you to have in your mind as we embark on this journey together, and it's the most important thing for you to keep in your mind as we travel through this journey of learning how to hear God's voice together. It's this. We learn to hear God through effort and experimentation. Now, another way to say that would be to borrow the language from Brother Lawrence and say it like this. We learn to hear God through practice and experience. We learn to hear God through practice and experience. It's very much the way my little boy is learning to hear and understand my voice. He's about 15 months old now, 16 months old now, and he can say a few words, and he understands many more words, although we never know exactly how many words he can understand, but he's learning more and more every day. But he's got a really long way to go before he can understand everything that I say to him. But he watches me. He watches my face, and I can see him trying to understand what I'm saying to him. And I put a lot of effort into getting through to him. I experiment with what works and what doesn't work with him. And Dallas Willard in his book says, in the same way, God experiments with us. He tries different things with us to see what will get through to us. So you can almost imagine God like, okay, she didn't listen to that because she thought it was just her own thought, so that's not going to work. I wonder if hearing a snippet of a sermon through an apartment window on her way to work will get through to her. Let's try that. So this, he experiments with us and to try to get through to us in various ways. Now, whenever I want, I can make my son do whatever I want. I'm much bigger than him, I'm much stronger, and for the time being at least, I'm much more knowledgeable than he is. So I can grab him by the wrist, and I can drag him wherever I want him to go. I can hold him down, I can pick him up. I do hold him down so that he gets his vaccines. But this kind of guiding is not the guiding that I'm dreaming about for him, and it's not the guiding that God is dreaming about for us. I want to be able to speak to him, and I want him to listen to me. So I do speak to him. Even though he can't yet understand. I speak to him now as if he can understand everything that I'm saying. And so, for an example, I say things to him, but then I also meet him where he's at. I speak to him in ways he can't yet understand, but I also speak to him in ways that he can understand. So, for example, I tell him, I love you. I tell him I love you all the time. I don't really know how much he can understand those words. So I also tell him I love you by squeezing him and snuggling him and tickling him and comforting him and doing things for him. And I'll always do those things for him, but I also really want him to understand the words. At some point, I want him to understand the words. Otherwise, how am I ever going to explain to him how to shave? How am I ever going to explain to him what kind of qualities to look for in a potential wife? I mean, there's certain kinds of guidance that are just inaccessible to our relationship until we get this word thing down. Rest assured, your Heavenly Father speaks to you. He will likewise meet you where you're at and say to you whatever you're capable of hearing in whatever ways you are capable of hearing them. But there's more. And you will learn to hear more experimentally if you practice and put forth the effort. I hope this series of messages offers some helpful guidance as you do. This is a vital aspect of the new life God offers us in Christ. It is his desire that we live in a life-giving, conversational relationship with him. And it is one of the best things of real life and of heaven, which is the place to which real life grows and lands. To my knowledge, hearing God's voice is second only to seeing God's face, which we cannot do in this life. I hope that you will come along with me. I intend to strike out on this adventure of listening and discovery, although you will discover, as I have, that it's not really a striking out, it's more of an opening up and letting in. But regardless, I intend to go, and I hope that you will come along with me. I cannot offer you the guidance of a master, because I am not one. And I think that some of you are actually a bit further along in this than I am. Some of you may even be able to see around the next bend in the trail and will be calling back to me. I think that many of you are probably right where I am, and we'll be able to hike shoulder to shoulder, and you know, maybe this time you can hold a branch out of my way, and the next time I can keep you from walking into a spider web. I think for some of you, I'm a half a step ahead, or maybe two or three steps ahead, and my hope is through this series and through our relationship to hold as much of the brush out of your way as I possibly can. Regardless, I'm going, and I hope you'll join me. Here's the first step. Ask him every day this week to teach you how to hear his voice. Regardless of how well we hear him, he's really good at hearing us. So every day this week, first thing in the morning, before you even get out of bed, if you can pull it off, pray a simple prayer from your heart and mean it. Father, teach me how to hear your voice. It was about 10 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long because, time just goes fast. But it was about 10 years ago now that I was standing on a cliff about 60 feet above the surface of the water over a lake in Canada, thinking about jumping with a bunch of friends, a bunch of guys. We had all climbed up out of the water, up onto this cliffside, and we were going to jump off of this cliff jump. And my buddy, whose family owned a cabin on this lake, was explaining that The trick is you got to jump before you dry off. If you dry off, you're just never going to do it. And so one of my other friends like instantly just ran and jumped off the cliff. And there was like a really, really, really long pause and then a splash at the bottom. And which is really, if you've ever done that, it's really unsettling because you don't just like hit the water. There's like several seconds of falling in between. It's very unsettling. But so we're up there and some other guys went, some other guys chatted, slowly we're drying off. And I heard the voice, just quick, like a flash, like a whisper in my heart, like my own thought, only the opposite of what I happened to be thinking at the moment, with all that authority, say, if you do this, you'll be glad you did. And I instantly believed that that was true. I believe if I do this, I would be glad that I did. But I kept talking and I dried off. And then I was with the guys that climbed back down the cliff and didn't jump off into the water that day. And I've always kind of regretted that. I don't think God was mad at me. I just think he meant what he said. I think that if I had done it, I would have been glad that I did do it. But I didn't. So I'll never know. Fast forward a year later, and I'm in Florida at this huge national conference dedicated towards church planting, which is starting new churches. And at the end of this conference every year, they do this rousing call to people who feel like God is calling them to plant churches. And it's this year, this guy gave this incredible talk, and he's getting everybody riled up. And then he does like this old school altar call. Like, come forward if you feel like God is calling you to plant a church. And I'm sitting there with the other pastors from the church that I was working at the time. And in the exact same cadence, in the exact same way, with the exact same tone, I heard the exact same words in my heart. If you do this, you'll be glad that you did. And my heart started racing and my heart started pounding in my ears. And I just thought, man, I'd always regretted not jumping a year ago. And I'm not doing that again. I'm not passing up on this opportunity again. So as foolish as I felt, as embarrassed as I felt getting up in front of all these people, I got up and I stumbled out into the aisle and I walked down and I knelt down in front of everybody and I got prayed for. And the only thing in my mind was that this has something to do with New York City. And here we all are. And I'm not the only one. That's worth it. You can clap for God. I'm not the only one that God has been speaking to about that. He's been speaking to people all throughout our neighborhoods and all throughout the country, tapping them on the shoulder, asking them to get behind establishing this new church in all kinds of different ways. I want you to commit to pray for this church. I want you to give money to make this church possible. Or people in our own neighborhoods, I want you to trust. I know you've been hurt. I know that you've got a bad attitude about church, but I want you to open up and I want you to try it and I want you to trust. And some of you have heard the voice. Maybe you didn't even recognize it, but you've heard the voice in the various ways that he speaks to you. And that's why you're here. And God has been speaking to us in all the various ways that he's been speaking to us and people have been responding. And it's amazing. It's amazing. When God speaks, amazing things happen. And when God speaks to children who will listen to him, we get to be a part of amazing things happening. People have moved across the country to be a part of this new church. Moved across the country. And I tell you what is much more dramatic than that. What's much more dramatic than that is this. People have moved from darkness to light as a result of this thing. When God speaks, amazing things happen. And when God speaks to children who will listen, we get to be a part of amazing things happening. Church, he speaks. Together, let's commit ourselves to become a people who will listen. Every day this week, first thing when you get up, if you can do it before you even get out of bed, do it before you even get out of bed. I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. God, Father, teach me how to hear your voice. And get confidence from the fact that I will be praying for each of you every single day the same thing as I would like to pray for you now. So let's pray. Father, please teach us how to hear your voice. Amen.